Welcome everyone, this is Average Advice.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Zar. This podcast is just two best mates discussing the challenges of life and using our past experiences to give questionable advice on how to adequately succeed.
Join us as we discuss a new topic weekly and travel through the challenges we have faced while growing up as a millennial and give our expert advice on navigating the harsh world of adulthood.
We will tell stories, we'll exchange banter, and we'll relive our past mistakes so you don't have to.
So please subscribe.
Subscribe.
And enjoy the show.
And we are live.
Average Advice. Welcome back, everyone.
Back again for another episode of Exciting Advice.
Exciting Average.
How are you, Zar? Advice.
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
Going well. I'm loving life, mate.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so we're back again for another exciting episode. Do you know what we're doing today, Zar?
We're doing employment.
Employment. So we're going to be talking about a couple of the jobs that we had, obviously going out of school, the jobs that you usually try to get, and the differences between, obviously, the mentality between jobs in school and, like, your relationships to work, and obviously outside of school, and how much it controls your entire life, so.
Well, yeah, like, if you have jobs when you're 17, it's not as serious jobs generally, like a hospital job you're going to do during school. You're not going to take it seriously. You don't really even care that much about it.
Yeah, that's just there so you can get alcohol money, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've had a few jobs. I've had a few jobs growing up, and we've worked together a couple of times, so I'm sure we have a few stories to go through, but yeah. So let's talk about some of the jobs that you had. What was your first ever job?
My first job was not the ice cream shop we worked at, but it was another one back in like year 8.
Did you work in another ice cream shop?
Yeah, I hated it.
Really?
I hated it.
What was it called?
In the Canberra Centre, Baskin Robbins.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was back in the day when it was below Dendy, like it was right on the ground level. I hated it so much. It was so boring, yeah. And I had to work there by myself a lot of the time. And it was like, I was like making like $7 an hour. Mate, when you're 14.
It's actually crazy how much people can pay kids. Like, I mean, 14's technically a teenager, but still, like, I mean, you have to work so many hours just to get enough. That's why it's like most people like still live at home for ages.
I worked like, I think I made, in a week, I'd make about $350. Like, it was pretty bad. If that's if I worked a lot, too. Yeah. Like, it was pretty bad.
Looking back on it, man, like, I remember when I was excited because I was getting $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, my first ever job was, where was it? It was Donut King. Donut King in,
Queanbeyan?
No, it wasn't in Queanbeyan. It was actually at, Brand Depot. Where Costco is now.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty bad because I was 14. So, because I only got the job because my sister knew the assistant manager and I didn't have a car at the time. And I didn't actually start until 10 a.m. But because I didn't have a car and I had to catch two buses to get to work. So I still had to leave at like 7 a.m. And
It's getting the Queanbeyan buses into Canberra is fucking nightmare.
Oh, especially go to Brand Depot because it was just like no one was going there at the time. Like, it was just a nightmare to get to. And then when I finally got there, like, it was just such a shitty job. The good thing was I gained a lot of weight working there because at the end of the night, you have to throw out all the donuts. So I just like put them all in a trash bag and took them home.
Yeah.
And I was like eating donuts galore, man. But it was such a shitty job though. I remember like I think I lasted there for maybe 2 months and ended up getting my mum to quit for me. I was like, Mum, can you call them and quit for me?
My second job when I was 17 was Gelatissimo. I got the job there because you remember Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked there and he talked to his boss because I was like, oh, I feel like... Okay, so I think you might have been in the car. I was driving my dad's car at the time and I like...
Old Focus days.
Yeah, do you remember... I was, maybe you weren't there. I think it might have been maybe Lord and Laurie, but I was parking it and I like dented some guy's door.
Ooh.
And he was like, you need to pay for it. And I was like, I don't have money. Like, I don't have a job. So my dad was like, you got to get a job and pay for that. And
really?
I was
like, yeah. I suppose that's fair.
Yeah. So I got a job.
How much was it?
I think it ended up being about $1,300 to repair. Yeah.
What the fuck for a dent? How bad was the dent?
Yeah, like scratch and dent like his door and stuff. I think he got the door replaced or panel beat it, something like that.
Yeah, buffed out.
It seemed like a bit of a rot, but
yeah, but he probably had to buff it out and then probably paint over it. The painting is expensive.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
So Gelatissimo, Phil got me the job, had an interview, and then I was there for like 4 years.
Yeah, I remember Gelamo because obviously you got me the job there, but like, but that was really fun. I remember on the Saturday nights, like the first night that we worked together, that was super fun because we had such a like a connection and we could just easily just talk shit to the customers the whole time. Do you remember that first Saturday that we had? And it was like the busiest night ever. And it was just us two. But we were like tag teaming.
And
we
then like, Irwin gave us like a bonus or something?
No, that was you and Worrell. You and Worrell did that. Yeah, I remember that because it was supposed to be three.
Three and then someone called in sick. Yeah. Oh, no. Irwin had a dinner. And then the person who was supposed to work went to the dinner.
What the fuck?
Or something like that. Like they were like, oh, you can come to the dinner. And we were like, oh, okay, so it's just us two on a Saturday. All right.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah. But yeah, I remember because I was, you know how you're supposed to scoop the ice cream in such a way that you gave them like the right amount?
Mm-hmm.
I never gave a fuck about that. Mm-hmm. I swear everyone loved when I gave them ice cream because I just like piled that shit on. And looking back on it, I'm like, man, yeah, I probably wasted so much money of that
one. I remember there was one guy, I did him a double scoop cone and he was like, give me more. Just like demand, like give me more. That's not enough. No. I was like, no, we have, you know, standard sizes. That's I weighed it and I was like, oh, it's a little bit over. Like I've given you a little bit more than I should have.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just like, I want more.
I don't care what
you want. And I was like, no. And then he's like, okay, forget it then, and walked off. I'm like, I mean, I don't give a fuck.
Okay. I'll eat this.
He was like, oh no, you're walking away.
Yeah.
However will I live?
Well, I loved those kind of customers, mate. Like, cause especially in like those kind of places, you, especially where it was located in Manuka.
Yeah.
You got some of the snooty people that just thought they owned the place and be like, you know, the attitude of the customer's always right.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever freaking heard. The customer's never right. Name four times. Yeah. Name four times the customer knows more than the employees. Never. It's never a thing.
We used to get some funny questions from them.
Oh man.
You remember like you'd be like closing, lights are all on,
yes,
chairs are stacked, every door is closed except that last door.
Last one.
Music's like blaring and people are like,
we're like cleaning up,
are you closed?
Yeah, like you guys open
the
still?
Signs like flip to close, like,
we all look at them like super suckers like, do we look open?
Yeah.
Come on, do we honestly look open?
I remember, I know. It's like come on.
Remember near the end we were doing like takeaway only and like there was this, I remember we would say, oh yeah, it's just takeaway only. We said that before we served them.
Yeah.
Because we were already packing up. We're like, we need to close, so you can't stay here. And I'm like, I think that's a pretty reasonable request. We're like, half an hour before closing, you're not allowed to stay here. So, and then I remember I did that and we're like, told them that. They're like, yeah, no worries. And then as soon as we gave it to them, they went and sat down. Like, I walked up to them. It was some old lady, right? And I walked up to them. I'm like, oh, sorry, we're doing takeaway only. You can't stay.
Yeah.
They're like, but I want to eat my ice cream here. I'm like, yeah, I want to go home, lady.
Yeah.
I don't care what you want.
I know. And like, then they felt so like attacked that we were like,
you need to leave.
And it's like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Go the fuck home.
Like on a winter night, why are you here?
And I love how a lot of people would like mispronounce the name of the ice cream. They'd be like, oh yeah, I'll get mango sorbet.
Yeah.
Like.
Or venison, what it was like.
Vietnamese chocolate. Yeah. This one was called, I think, Veronese chocolate. It was like Ferrero Rocher flavor. And people, Veronese was just the hardest word for people to pronounce. I mean, the sign was right there. Like, you could look right at it and read it. And it's like, people's brains just would misread the word. It's like, they would read, like, the first two letters and, like, the last letters. But then like the middle was just a jumble. Just like,
yeah, they just guessed.
Villanese chocolate.
They just guessed it.
Yeah.
Remember some of the weird dudes that like were walking around Monica? There was like those four guys that we like sort of nicknamed because they were like all junkies and homeless people.
Oh.
And we nicknamed them.
Oh, there was like Crazy Eye Guy.
There was Crazy Eyed Guy. That guy was my favorite.
Oh,
there was
I've got a good story about Crazy Eye Guy.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah. And then there's the dreadlock guy.
Then there was
Wizard. The wizard guy. Wizard. This guy was so screwed up on drugs that he would go up and ask people for money right outside Gelatissimo. And when they said no, he would like cast spells.
Yeah.
he had a wand.
They'd
and
walk away and he'd just like
them.
Start pointing at them with his like staff and go, Naruto Dalo!
And like, it was like a show because it was right in front of our work and we were watching it. It was the funniest thing in the world.
Crazy Eyed Dude was pretty, it was pretty freaky.
Well, yeah, he would just walk up when our doors closed and just stare at us with those weird eyes. We're like, what are you doing?
Oh, no, I'm thinking, okay.
I think Crazy Eyed Dude, Dreadlock Guy.
Crazy Eyed Guy was friendly. Well, he was just a bit weird.
He was just strange.
But dreadlock guy was fucking scary. I was serving. I was making coffees. I was alone in the store. No one else in the store. And he just like walks in really slowly and just like staring at me making coffee. And he's like,
what time was this? Like, was it late? Or during the day?
No, I think it was like morning. Maybe like 10 or 11. Yeah. He walks in. He's just staring at me making coffee. I look up. I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, hey, man, can I have some milk? I was like, just like a cup of milk. Yeah, a cup of milk. I was like, all right. I mean, I was like, should I make him pay for it? I don't really know what. Cares. I was like, fine. So I just poured a little cup of milk in, like one of the little takeaway coffee, like a small one. And he's just like, oh, can I have some chocolate powder on it? And he like said some story like, oh, it's for a friend. Some story like, it's for a friend. It's for my sister or something like that.
It's not be him, basically.
I mean, I didn't care. I was like, okay. So I put him a bit of chocolate and he's like, oh, thank you. Yeah, it's for my friend. I was like, okay. And then he just sculls it in front of me, puts it down and walks off. And I was like, you made that whole like story up to get the milk, even though I was going to give it to you anyway, didn't even try to hide
that. That's what I respect him for. He's like, yeah, it's from my friend, and just like stares at you, downs it.
Oh, and his eyes were red as fuck.
Yeah, it's because he's probably on drugs, like most of the people there.
Yeah.
But didn't you get like attacked one night? You got punched in the face.
Yeah, during Skyfire. Because we were like, yeah, we're just serving some guys.
Who attacks an ice cream guy?
Hey, he's just walking past, like screaming. And then he knocks one of our, like, barriers flags over or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe it was a flag. And so he's, like, walking up. And then he's, like, walking towards Macca's. And, like, I'm going to put it up. And he, like, I look at him. And he, like, looks back. And he's, like, shouting something. And I'm just like, why'd you, like, what the hell, man? And then he comes up, like, all staunch at me. Oh, the fuck? And I'm just like, bro, like, chill out. Like why are you doing this? Mm. He just punched me in the face. So I was like, all right.
Can you fuck off?
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to call the cops. He's like, dude, I don't even care. And then there was another time, I think. Oh, I can't remember what happened, but some guy was being like really rowdy in the streets. And then he like walked past Macca's being really rowdy. And then these guys from Macca's came out and were like staunching him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, oh, how dare you fucking be rude to like fucking teenagers working? Fucking, who do you think you are, big man? Yeah.
Is this the same guy that punched you?
I can't remember.
I think you said, I remember, I'm pretty sure those are the same story where he walked past Macca's and those guys came out and were like, why'd you punch that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't you love that when other people, like strangers, come to your back? You're like, yeah, we bonded over this, man. Man, like some crazy times. Especially because like we've worked together quite a lot now. I think we have two separate jobs, but like, for like long periods of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So like how long did you work? I worked at Jelmo for 2 years.
I think I was there 4 years.
Yeah, and then we worked at Grilled.
Yeah, Grilled.
Let's have a moment of silence for our past experience at Grilled. So
the difference, like Jelmo was, most of the time, super chill.
Mm.
Quite an easy job. I mean, cleaning up the gelato store was quite easy. I mean, gelato's really easy to clean off the surface. Yeah.
Looking back on it, I was just the laziest kid back then. Yeah. Like because we had, our boss gave us a lot of autonomy there. Like, because I didn't think he gave a fuck. He didn't want to be, he didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
So, like, because he just let a lot of the team leaders and stuff just run the store, especially at night, which is, I think, the main problem, because I knew for a fact that no one else was going to come in and tell me what to do. So, I got a little bit slack with some things.
Chill job, cool people. It was just an easy environment, very chill environment. And I mean, even in summer, gelato store, I think maybe in summer it would be busy.
It was busy, but still fun.
It's still fun. Yeah. But then Grilled, like the amount of busy that Grilled would get would be nothing compared to what Jelmo.
And it was every night. It wasn't like there was
didn't matter what time of the day. Didn't matter what.
Well, that's not true.
What part of the didn't matter what part of the year. I mean,
yeah, part of the year, but the part of the day was 100%. So we would have like normally two rushes. But I remember both of us used to work nights for this is me personally, but I'm pretty sure you were the same, for the sole reason that our manager never worked nights.
Mm.
And because as soon as that, all the team leaders basically ran the shift, and they were all like 22, all really like sort of young, into partying, and we're all pretty good friends. So like, it made it so much chiller.
Shout out to our old Grilled crew of them listening. Man. Those guys were cool.
Malone. Special shout out to
Malone. I haven't seen you in a while.
I love you. My chips and buns friend.
Malone, Wizzy, Grayson, all those guys.
I remember when I went into Monica, there was a guy named Bryn there, and like Bryn was like pro at grill. Like, for people that don't know,
he was like the Kobe Bryant of grill.
Like, actually though, like the Michael Jordan of grill. But for people that don't know, basically at grill you'd have multiple sections. So you'd have like the chips and buns section.
Station.
Yeah. You'd have the dress station, which usually have two people on it, and then the grilled station, if it was busy, usually would have two people on it.
Yeah.
And then the rap station, which is basically the leader of the team screaming,
getting the orders out. Yeah.
So. But when it wasn't, when it was busy, but we were understaffed, that's when everyone wanted to neck themselves, basically, because it would mean one person was on each station. And I remember I was on Chips Buns, which I was just like moving like lightning because we were so busy. And then fucking Bryn was on grill, and he had like the whole two grills just full of meat. And I remember he was just looking at it like, fuck. And like, and we met in the middle. I was like, how are you doing? He's like, I want to fucking kill myself. Like, grilled was one of those places that if it wasn't for the social aspect of it, I would fucking hate it galore. Because, like, it did make a lot of friends, like, you know? Yeah. And it was a good social, like, of that age. We're all the same age. It was a good social group.
It was just, like, it's just a really physically demanding job. Mm. You think you compared, like, a busy night at Jelmo was, like, you know, you wouldn't be tired. You'd just be like, oh, like I was a little bit, like I had to go fast, but it grilled. If it was busy, you were just exhausting. Nonstop, just like hustle, 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 hustle. And you had to be really quick. At Jelmo, it was just like, oh, ice cream, boom, boom. There you go.
Yeah.
At grilled, it's like, yeah, got this burger. I got to flip this. Oh, next order's coming up. Exactly. Oh, I got to get 7 minutes. Oh, my God. Oh, next burger. Oh, 5-6 more orders come up. Oh, shit. Flip.
You're doing hustle, like, hustle. You're doing like 8 things at once.
Yeah.
And so you have to like, cook the fresh meat, but also make sure you're not burning the meat that's already on there.
Yeah.
Plus also making sure that you're not missing any new orders that are coming out. So it's just like you're multitasking way more than one person should be. And way more than like the customer should expect.
And let's not forget, you're also working, like we were like 22, 23, and we were working with like 16-year-olds
as well. Or younger.
And 16-year-olds were like, oh yeah, like I'm on a 3-hour shift. Yeah. And like,
I'm not allowed to stay past 9.
I can't stay past 8. My parents said I have to get picked up. Dude. And then you're like, oh, you need to be a bit faster. They're like, why? I don't care about this job. I'm in year 9. Well, I don't care.
It was funny because I came over, because I was working at a job that I fucking hated. It was at Reese Plumbing.
Mm.
The job itself wasn't bad, but I just didn't like the people I was working with.
Yeah.
Usually the manager was pretty douchey, and I hope he does hear this. But basically, I needed to get out of that job ASAP. And that's when you're like, I can get you a job at Grilled.
Yeah.
So just so everyone can put into perspective how much I hated Reese, I went and worked at Grilled as a replacement.
So obviously, because Reese is more like...
I would say it's more of a career-based job. And
what was
job.
The... So what was the... Because it was obviously you were in that sort of job and then you went over to Grilled... How was that transition, and what was it like, the two, like, you know, you had Reese where it was like, felt like an adult job, and then back to Grilled, it was kind of a bit more like
a casual job.
Hospo, casual, in between job.
Well, I remember because I was working at Jelmo, and I just got promoted to assistant manager at Jelmo, fucking somehow, I have no idea. But, and then I used that, like, assistant management position to get a new job, and Owen was not happy about that, but, basically, I was like, oh, finally, I'm going to start like a new career, blah, blah, blah. And I went there, and it was just, it was a lot of downtime. But then in that downtime, they expected you to find things to do. And you're like, how am I supposed to find things to do if everything's done? Like, and they're like, I just don't want you standing there. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do, man?
Yeah.
Like, tell me what to do. If there's things to do, I'll go do it. But I'm like, I'm not going to go looking for things just because you don't want me standing there.
Yeah.
Especially because the boss himself was such a hypocrite, and he would like expect you to do these things. But then when if you did them without asking, he wouldn't give you encouragement. He'd be like, finally, you're doing your job right, sort of thing. But then if you didn't do it, you'd be like, man, can you go do this? Like, he had no positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, there's no point. I'm going to get yelled at no matter what I do. So I'm just going to stand here and wait for orders. But I was a driver. So, like, my favorite times was when I come in, it was just super busy. Yeah. We had like 8 orders because all I had to do is
get on the road.
I just packed up the van, whatever it was, the ute, and I just drove around and I just fucking delivered people's pipes and shit. Those were fun. Like, because most of it was just autonomy. I could just pull over, have a cigarette or whatever. I probably shouldn't. I probably wasn't allowed to do that, but I did it. I remember one day I got there. I started at 8 o'clock, and the first thing they said to me, like, "Yeah, you have to go to Yass today." I was like, "What?" They're like, "Yeah, we have to. You have to carry out some pipe to Yass." I'm like, "That's like a 2-hour drive." They're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" So I like
that's half the day.
Go on. I just drove out to Yass, hung out, got some food, and then slowly came back.
They did you have a deadline, a time limit?
I mean, on the phones they gave you, because there was like a delivery phone, they can track where you are.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you're going too long, or if you're in a spot like single spot for too long, they would be like, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah.
So you can sit there and stop for a bit, but you can't fuck around too much. But yeah, even when I got back, they're like, "What took you so long?" I'm like, "What do you mean? You told me to go to Yass." Like, that's what took me so long.
Oh, yeah, just like a flat tire. There's a crash on the road. Kangaroo.
There's another
you just say anything, they're like, "Exactly." Oh, we can't prove it otherwise.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then there was one other time they're like, "I need you to go out to Gunning," which is basically
distance. Yeah, Gunning. It's like on the way to like Goulburn, collector, past, like, exactly.
The middle of buttfuck nowhere, basically.
And it's probably like, 20 minutes apart, like when you leave Canberra, like 20 minutes, half an hour.
So I was like, okay, cool. So I packed up the ute, went out there, and then when I got there, apparently the whole order was wrong. So I had to come all the way back and do it all over again.
Oh, not bad.
And I was just like, "Well, you ordered it, man. I just packed it." But like, in that mindset, because I didn't like that job at all. Like, I was just doing stupid things a lot. Like, I would leave and forget, like a delivery or whatever. So I'd have to come all the way back. So I'm sure they didn't like me there, but I didn't give a shit.
So that was like an adult job. But then how was it when you got to grill? Did you feel like a different sort of like mentality?
Or? Yeah, 100%. Because when I went to grill, this is what I was going to say before. Because I came in as a team member, right? But because all my friends were TLs like you, like, and I was already in that group, I sort of just acted as a TL anyway in regards to like, I didn't have the mentality of like a normal team member. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I need to get good at this job." I'm like, I did not give a fuck at all. And then when I came in, I picked up the job pretty easily because you showed me how to do it. Plus also you got me the job. So usually when my friends get me a job, I try extra hard because I'm like, it's reflecting on you. So, I got to team leader pretty quickly, so.
I remember, I'm not going to name, but I remember when I was at Grilled. I'm not going to do it. I remember I'd been working there maybe like 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Been there, I don't know how long it was. Anyway, this new guy started, and he was one of those guys that like, they're like new, but then they try and act like they know everything.
Oh, I know who
and,
you're talking about.
Yeah, and then so like, I'd be on shift, and he's like, "Oh, can you do this?" And I'm like,
"No."
Are you the new guy telling me what to do? Or that he'd be telling me how to do things? And I'm like, "You've been here a week."
Yeah, but he came in as like a boss, right?
No. Team member to start off. Yeah.
Maybe I don't know who you're talking about then.
So he came in and he was doing all that. And I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
And then, you know, we weren't supposed to put the sharp knives in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
So someone had done that. And he was like, "Zariel, you're not supposed to put these in the sink." I'm like, first of all, who the fuck are you? Second of all, I didn't fucking do that. I fucking know what to do. I've been here 6 months. What the fuck? And I was just blowing my mind that person came in and just was acting like that. Yeah. Like, why are you fucking like that?
Well, it's the same thing as, like, because I remember a manager came in and he was doing the same thing.
But that's different if
that is different. 100% is different, but it still makes you feel the same way.
Yeah.
Because, like, he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He didn't come from previous grills or anything.
But I still agree, but I get when you're a manager, you're trying to act like that sort of person and trying to assert yourself as someone who.
Well, that's your job.
Yeah. So I understood, but I mean, he went in a bit harder than he should have. He probably should have taken a step back and.
I liked him. Don't get me wrong. I liked him, but because he kept telling us what to do, I'm like, "Dude, I've been here a year. You've been here 2 days. You don't know what to do." And I think the problem with that is he still tried to act. He's like, "I'm your boss. You need to tell," which is true, 100%. But at the same time, like, if your staff member knows more than you, you should be trying to learn from them, not tell them.
Like,
what to do.
I came in and I was the boss and I was new, I'd be like, "Hey, you've been here a year. You let me know what the how to do this right.
Yeah.
And then we'll work together."
Exactly, and I think that creates a good employee employer bond too.
Yeah,
but like. What I'm curious about is, like, you know how when you're a kid, they put so much emphasis on, like, what do you want to do when you grow up and stuff? Did you have, like, a serious plan of what you planned on doing? Obviously, you went to uni and stuff, but was that super early on where you had that plan?
I never really had a plan. My parents were very big on like me going to uni. Mm. They were very like, you should go to uni, like it'll, you know, it'll do better for you in the long run and stuff. And I mean, I'm still waiting for that. Yeah. Long that to pay off. I still got all these fees and stuff.
I remember when, because you went to uni straight after school. You didn't
I wish I'd taken a couple years off.
Well, like, honestly, I think you did it the right way because like...
I honestly don't. I honestly think when I went to uni, I wasn't ready for uni.
Yeah.
And so I didn't... I didn't commit myself to the learning. I didn't retain a lot of the stuff I should have learned.
Yeah.
I was too focused on other things.
Well, 100%. Because especially because your whole friendship group wasn't at uni.
So I like, think if I'd taken a few years off, I would have had that time.
Do you think you would have gone back though? That is the question.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think it's no point going to uni if you're not ready for it.
Yeah,
if you're
agree.
If you're not ready to actually... soak in what you're going to learn, then you're wasting your time.
Well, I felt that's exactly where I was leading into. Because I'm like, I think there's this stigma that people need to go to uni. They need to do this extra study and stuff. But my viewpoint, I'm like, if you're going to uni just because your parents say you should go to uni, don't go to uni.
Yeah.
Because one, you'll waste money. And two, you'll end up leaving uni with some bullshit degree that doesn't mean shit. Like an arts degree or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like... yeah, uni is fun for 4 years, but at the same time, it's a lot of money that you're paying for. And most of the time, I can't think of anything worse is finishing a 4-year degree and then realizing you don't want that job.
Mm.
Like, what a waste of time, you know what I mean? Where you could have just gone and got like actual real world work experience and you would have been better off than not going to uni at all because you would have had more experience in the job that you like or transferable skills where you can actually get a job that you like. And me, I've gone to a uni twice, haven't finished a single degree. Like, I dropped out twice. I did business administration for a semester, and then I did journalism for a year
remember
and a half.
Remember when I sat in for one of your tubes for business?
Business administration.
Yeah, I was sat in for one of your tubes randomly.
I remember that was a weird one, too.
And I remember like, sitting in, and I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? This is so boring.
Yeah, that was one of my, like ones that I barely go to. I think that was the second time I ever went to it. And you're like, do you want to come? I was like, he's like, all right. And I'm like, rookie mistake.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, I think people need to realize that, like, you can, if you're committed enough and you want something enough, there's ways to do it without going to uni. Like, you don't need to go to uni for any job, in my opinion. But if you want it enough, if you find a job that you want that requires a uni degree in inverted commas, I reckon there's ways to get that without that degree. You just have to, it's harder.
Depends on the job. Mm. You can't become a doctor without a uni degree. Okay.
All right. Good point. But,
or I mean, a lot of lawyer jobs, I think you need a law, some sort of, you need a pass.
Okay, let me change this.
I get what you're saying. If it's a job that, you know, it's like...
by law, if it doesn't require a uni degree, if they just like, they just would like a uni degree.
If it's
degree.
Like a, yeah. What's, you know, when the job interviews, when it's like things that would help, preferred.
Yeah, exactly, preferred. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, doctor and lawyer, you kind of need to go to uni and study for that shit. But
things that require professional... education.
Yeah.
Okay. Degree.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But
like, for instance, you think of like IT.
Mm-hmm.
They offer IT courses at uni, but you don't need IT. An IT.
I'm in IT
degree.
Now.
Look how many of our friends are in fucking real good
IT
technical
jobs.
IT jobs that didn't do even a semester of uni. No,
they did. Year
they
12.
Just went straight out of year 12 into a shitty IT job.
Yeah,
just worked
your way up. And I've just started a shitty IT job to work my way up because I was doing IT recruitment for such a long time.
Yeah,
and I was just like, you know what? I'm sick of people giving people all this money, and I want to do that. I want to get that money.
Yeah.
So yeah, you take a pay cut, you do what you need to do, and you start your career again. And I think that's. People are scared to do that. And I find that people fall into careers early on in their life and then they just stay there because that's the mentality that they've been brought up with. They're like, no, you need to get a career. You need a job. You need to do this. Even if you don't like it, get there. And my opinion is if you don't like your job, fucking leave. Because what's the point? Like, what's the point on staying a job that you hate? If you get up on a Sunday morning, you're depressed because you have to go to work for the week, you're in the wrong job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, money is not worth that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's coming from someone that's like hated his job for a while now. Yep. Not this new one. This new one I like, but yeah, recruitment I didn't enjoy. I enjoyed it for the first year, and then 3 years consecutive after that, I hated it.
You are a bit of a job hopper, though.
I am.
I know
yeah.
You've been through. 100%. I think you've been to probably double the amount of jobs that I've had at least.
So in my real professional career, I wouldn't say double. Like,
well, the amount of jobs that you've had, I think, is probably double, or probably even more than double of mine. I think I've only had like 5 or 6 jobs. Yeah,
that's because you were at uni for a long time. I started the career like my career a long time ago.
I just stay at jobs for a long time. I just don't hop around.
So in recruitment, I've only really started hopping around recently. So I did, after Grilled, I got into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I did real estate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot.
I did real estate for 10 months. Only reason I left real estate is because after a year, they go commission only. And I was a lone little 22-year-old, had no savings to myself. I didn't really like trust my skill set to sell houses without any money. Plus, I was living at home. Like, if I was living at home, I had a bit of savings, I probably would still be in real estate. But because of that, I was like, no, I need a base rate. So then I went from that, moved to Sydney, and got a job in recruitment. And recruitment's basically the same as real estate. It's still sales. It's still the exact same skill set.
You have a base rate.
But I have a base rate and commission. So if you're not, if you're having a bad month or anything like that, and you're not selling anything, you're still getting paid. And like, I needed that at that time. I needed to be able to sell. But then when I moved back to Canberra, I was still in the same job. Mm-hmm. And still with the same company, but it just didn't, it wasn't the same. I just didn't enjoy it as much because one, dealing with the government and stuff, selling them people in the government is never never an easy task.
Yeah.
And then when I left, so I was at Hayes for, I was at Hayes for 2 years, two and a bit years, I think just over 2 years. And then when I moved, I was starting to not enjoy it. I was like, I don't enjoy this job. I don't enjoy the actual day-to-day grind of what I have to do. And whenever I kept telling people that, the only thing they kept saying was just like, but you could make a lot of money here. I'm like, that doesn't mean shit. If I don't enjoy the process to get to that point, like telling me I can make a lot of money is pointless.
I feel like if you don't enjoy your job, you have to make a significant amount of money to actually make it worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you hate your job, but you're making 200 grand a year, then it's like, well, that's a lot of money.
Well, it will entice you to stay, basically. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing. Like, I know heaps of recruiters.
That's like 4 grand a week.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm the highest biller in Hayes, he would have easily been earning like 35,000 a month. Like,
shit.
Yeah, or more. Like, it was... ridiculous amount of money. He would have been easily like close to like 500 grand to 600 grand a year. But it took him 3 years to build that, and he worked more than anyone I've ever seen. And I spoke to him recently, and I'm like, and he's still going up. So that's the thing with recruitment. Once you build your desk, once you build your business, it's a lot easier to maintain it rather than build it again. So that's why most people like that stay there for ages, because as soon as you leave, you have to start all over again, and it's just not worth it, you know what I mean? But when I left Hayes, I was like, oh, maybe it's the company, maybe I don't like the company and how it is, because they were very micromanagey and sort of treated you like children a little bit. So I moved to another recruitment company, and I was there for a couple of months, and I realized, oh no, it's just the job that I hate. So then after that, it was just like, I just need to get out. Yeah. And I kept changing jobs because I was like trying to find a way out of this career, but all my skill set was based around that. So like, I started doing like external study, external, like doing anything I can to basically get experience outside of the job that I've got. And then I finally found that other job where it was like half recruitment, half IT. And I went there with a bunch of promises. Unfortunately, none of the promises sort of came through. But then finally, I got another job that I liked. And like, I've been there for a week and a bit now, and it's like, it's all new, and I'm like excited to go to work again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's been such a long time since I've been excited to go to work. It's like, it's a really good feeling. Yeah, it's a really good feeling. Yeah. But so when you were a kid, you didn't really have an idea. Like, obviously, your parents were really pushy to go to uni and stuff. See, my mom was always under the impression, we're like, I think maybe because she was already parented out by the time she got to me, because I'm the like baby of five.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was more just like, yeah, do what you want to do. If you're happy, do it.
Yeah, I think my parents were like that too. My parents were like, you should probably go to uni, get some qualification. They both had degrees. Both my grandparents on my mom's side had degrees. I'm not sure about my dad's side. Mm. They probably do have degrees, but it was a very academic family, and I think it didn't really have like a career that I wanted, but probably when I got to like end of high school, I was really into like sport and footy and stuff, and I wanted to be a physio. Yeah. And then halfway through uni, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a physio.
Well, that's why I don't really enjoy uni, because I'm like, you have to basically know exactly what you want to do, because it's such a commitment to go learn all this stuff when you don't really know. You're not 100% sure. You just think that's what you want.
Mm.
So, because me personally, all through school, if I could go back in time or give advice to people that are younger, still in school, like, start thinking early of your passions and what you enjoy to do, mm-hmm. because that makes that question or what do you want to do when you're older a lot easier. And it helps you develop a path that you can take and sort of carve out for yourself.
And don't go to uni because someone's told you what you should do. Or don't go to uni if you're not completely sure about what you want to do, because
it's a waste of time.
You won't enjoy what you're learning. If you're not interested, if you're not fully 100% interested in what you're learning, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, and then also, like, you can, in this day and age, like, if you have a passion for something, 9 times out of 10, there's ways to make money out of your passion. Mm-hmm. It just takes a lot more hard work than just getting a job. Like, you need to be committed, but that's what a passion is. Like, if you're passionate about something, it's easy to be committed because you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
Where if you're just chasing a job because of the money, but you don't really care and you don't really love it, you're going to put less effort into that. Even if it's like, you put effort in, but you put less effort into it. And I think that is where most people in like 17, 18 all think. They're like, oh no, I just need to get a job that makes money. I just want to get a good job. I just want to like have this class bracket. I want to get a house, all this stuff, all these goals. But like, they don't actually think of what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people need to change, you know?
All right. So, what's the difference between the casual job and the adult job? Do you see like what's the main thing that you found?
Well, two things I would point out would be the main differences. So I think when I was working at Hayes, especially in Sydney, it was sort of a mixture. I mean, you could easily make a career out of that, but a lot of the people there just had children minds. Like, we're all basically like young teenagers, and like, we basically acted like that. Like, it was sort of very work hard, play hard, where it was a big, big office in Sydney. I think there was 100 recruiters or something in this one office. So it was this really big, big social aspect of it. But I think the main thing I find the difference is like, you're nervous. Like, you don't want to, you want to do well. You want to like progress. You want to
make a future.
Yeah. Well, and you want that feedback that you can do the job and you're doing well at the job. Where in like the casual jobs, like grilled and stuff, I didn't give a fuck, man. Like, I didn't care. Only reason I wanted to become TL is one, I wanted to run my own shift, so I didn't have to talk to like people tell me what to do. And I wanted that not shit money. But being in those sort of careers and stuff, it shapes the way you think and your mind and how to sort of develop a business and develop a career mindset a little bit. And I wouldn't say I have a career mindset a little bit more now than I used to, but at the same time, as you said, if I don't like something, I'll quit.
Yeah.
If I really, really don't like it, I'm not going to just drop it because it's hard or anything like that. If I don't enjoy it, I'll leave.
Which I think is a good reason to leave.
Yeah. And I honestly don't give a shit if anyone tells me otherwise. Like, if someone's like, you need to stop quitting jobs, I'm like, no. Like, I will quit if I don't like it. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. You got to find something you enjoy.
Well, like, think about what's going to happen on your deathbed. Are you going to look back and be like, man, I really wish I didn't work at this place? Or are you going to be like, man, I'm glad I worked here. It was really good. And that's the mentality. Like, you're going to, once you're this age, like, we're almost 30, like, we're 27, 28. Like, you want to make right choices from here, and you want to know what's important to you. Is money important? Is money the most important? Then follow that. But if you want to enjoy getting up, and if you want to enjoy, like, you're at a job for 50 years, you know what I mean? And even that blows. Like, I don't think I could ever stay at a job for like that long, you know what I mean? I can never do it. My uncle, right, he worked at Qantas for 42 years. In like just at Qantas, and they were so terrified because, one, if he quit, his payout would be ridiculous, and they can't fire him or make him redundant because his payout would be ridiculous. So he was just there for ages, and then they couldn't get rid of him because they would have had to pay him out so much. So I'm like, and when he told me that, it blew my effing mind. I was just like, I can't think of being at a job for that long. You know what I mean?
Did he enjoy it?
Well, I'm assuming he did. He was there for a long time, you know. Yeah. And you don't, maybe because he's an older generation, he just stays there. But at the same time, when you're at a job for that long, especially one like Qantas, I don't really understand how that industry works. So I don't know how the transferable skills work.
Mm.
But what I do love about my sort of background in recruitment and stuff, I learned a lot about how to word your skills in interviews and stuff to make it sound like you can do the job that you're applying for. Like any skill that you have. So when you're thinking about going for a new job or a new interview and stuff, but you don't think you have the required skill set, really think about what you're capable of doing or what the skills in the job require of you. And then think about how those skills that they require of you can somewhat relate to the skills that you have. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in the interview, say that. Say it's like, I can do this job because I did this job and it's like this because of this. That's what recruiters, that's what interviewers want. Like, they don't care if you've got the experience. They want you to know, they want you to see.
Apply it.
Apply your skill set to be able to learn the new skills. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what they want. And I think that's been really handy for me. So I go into most interviews pretty confident, you know?
Yeah. And for anyone that's like, you know, they're thinking, oh, I need to do more study. Yeah, I need to do more uni work to get a good job. I have a story of my grandfather on my mom's side. So he went to boarding school as a kid in England. He did well in school. He's a smart bloke. He ended up going to Oxford University, so a pretty renowned university. And I think he did a Bachelor of Language. So not like a common degree. Like, it's not one that a lot of people would do. It's kind of more like a foreign affairs, like, you know. So Bachelor of, like, you know, the world and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he did that for his bachelor degree. So what, 3 years?
Okay.
And he always said to me, he's like, oh, I could not wait to get out of uni.
Really?
Yeah. So I was talking to him because I was like, I was doing my master's and I wanted to drop down to a postgrad, and people were like, oh, you shouldn't do that. And then my granddad was like,
do it.
If you don't enjoy it, do it.
Yeah.
I went to uni for 3 years. I hated it.
Yeah.
He's like, as soon as I got out, I could not wait to leave. And he's like, never going back there again. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He became a diplomat.
Yeah.
He became an ambassador with just a bachelor in languages.
Yeah, you don't need a master's.
Yeah.
I think what you fell into is, obviously, after you finish your main degree, you realize that, like, the world is really hard to find a job in that.
Oh, yeah.
And then because of that, like, I think that's on the uni too. Like, I feel like the uni's not preparing students enough for what the real world's like. And they think that, like, oh, after I got this degree, I'll be super hireable. But yeah, you got a degree, but guess what? You have no experience. And that's all that people care about. Like, they'll hire someone with experience over a degree, I think, any day. Even though most people would say otherwise. But I think if someone was super experienced without a degree, and then there's someone with a degree with no experience, they'll take the person with experience any day of the week.
Yeah.
Because why would they waste resources on being able to train someone when they've got someone that's already proven that they can do the job, you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
And some degrees, it requires more than just, you know, your undergrad study. I mean, if you're doing, like, for me, I did science.
Mm.
Oh, man, science. Well, I mean,
the you're always studying
science. Yeah, the person, like, to be a doctor. I got a guy I work with. He's in his last year of medicine. Mm-hmm. So that's postgraduate. So you do, like, medical science. That's like your undergrad. Do that 3 or 4 years. And then you do 4 years of medicine. So you, like, got
medicine school or medical
school?
Yeah,
med school. Yeah, so med there's school. An undergrad, which isn't even just medicine. Like a bachelor, that's just right? Like, you got to do that before you can get into medicine. So you do 4 years of medical school. Oh, sorry, of undergrad medical science.
Yeah.
You have to get good grades. You have to get good grades to even get accepted into medicine. Yeah. And then you get into medicine and you have to pass all your units, right?
Yeah.
You have to pass medicine. You do that. So your first 2 years is theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
All theory, all learning, like, you know, all that stuff. And then
how the heart works and shit.
Well, I assume you'd learn that in undergrad. But yeah, that's, like, theoretical, very specific medicine stuff. And then the last 2 years, practical.
Wow.
So you're actually going to doctor's practices, going to hospitals, watching what doctors do, like learning all the on-job stuff. And then you have a year of internship.
Yeah.
And internship,
and residency.
Internship is basically like you're like still a student doctor. You're you're actually a doctor, but you're a student. You don't get any. You don't make any calls. It's
like residency, right? When you're
Residency is still learning. You do your internship, and then when you pass your internship, then you become a resident.
Yeah.
And then residency is still learning.
Yeah.
You have to then pass your residency to become a specialist or to become an attending.
Yeah. You know, attending doctor is the next level.
Attending doctor is when you actually are like
those are the ones doctor. That teach the interns and the residents.
You're like like you know doctor, renowned doctor. You have like you know like you're that,
skills.
That's,
you're not
that's
gonna
what
kill
you're
people.
Trying to get to. Yeah. You know, but. So then getting from school, undergrad to attending, it's like 10 years.
Yeah, that's why like, whenever I spoke to people and they said they want to do medicine, one, I was like torn because I'm like, good on you. And also, you're a fucking idiot because I could never do 9 years of school. Plus, also, I don't want anyone else's life in my hands. You're going to die.
I've had people at my work that were doing undergrad medical science and then they finished their undergrad degree and they were like, I didn't get into medicine or like they were like,
really?
Or they were like, I don't want to continue with this. So they've done their, you know, their bachelor in medical science, but then they go, oh, I wasn't good enough for medicine or I don't want the stress anymore.
Well,
so
yeah,
people just go, they do that 4 years and then go, see ya.
Surely there's something, because obviously getting through that first bachelor degree is still hard. Surely there's something you can do with that.
Well, bachelor degree in science is still going to, there's a lot of jobs open up. Yeah. But if you want to become a doctor,
yeah, no thanks.
You know, that's only a quarter of the way there.
Well, do you remember back in school, right? How they made such a big deal about like your UAI or your ATAR or whatever, your HSC, like how are you going to get into uni if you don't do this? Mm. And like they made it such a big deal, like that everyone basically like if you don't get a good ATAR, you're never going to be able to go to uni. And I was an accredited student, right? I did all tertiary classes, but I knew I didn't want to go to uni back in school, right? I was like, I don't want to go to uni, fuck school, right? Blah, blah, blah. Such an idiot. But so I did all tertiary classes, but I didn't do a tertiary unit, like an actual course, because I didn't want to have to look like the end of year tests or anything like that. Yeah. I think I had one exam at my year 12 end of school.
Yeah,
you know that one.
Yeah.
But then after school, I was like, I did a gap year in inverted commas, where I just basically partied for a year straight and made excuses that I was on a gap year.
Yeah.
And then after that year's finished, I was like, oh shit. Oh, I should probably do something now. Mm. And I was like, maybe I should get a job, but I really didn't want to get a full-time job either. So I was like, all right, I'll go to uni. And I went to uni and did the business degree. And it was the easiest thing to get into. And I was like, how the fuck?
Yeah, the bridging course.
It was so easy, man. I did a bridging course for a semester, like, and which was literally for dumb people. Like, if you couldn't pass the bridging course, just go do a trade or something because you're an idiot. It was the easiest thing. And as soon as I got into there, like you get points at the end of UC college or whatever it is. And then those points reflect on what degrees you're able to go into. Right. But then once you're into a degree, you can just transfer. You can transfer into any degree besides medicine. But yeah, so it doesn't matter about your ATAR at all. Like as soon as you're in uni, you can transfer into 99% of other courses. So your UAI, your ATAR means fucking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is crazy that they made this sound like such a big deal in school when it clearly is not.
I'm just mind blown by the massive push to get into uni by everyone.
Well, yeah, they think that's what you need. And but it's not true.
It doesn't appear to really be that. I mean,
honestly, I think the world is changing too. I think it used to mean a lot more than it does. But I think most people, well, especially now, most people, there's so much online studying and self-paced learning and stuff that you can do that is probably more equivalent or better than going to uni. Like, because it's your own, you know how to teach yourself more than anyone else. So if you're going into a teacher's trying to teach you when they have no idea how you learn or anything like that, I learned more things after school when I was doing my own study and own research into things than I did most of school, because one, I was passionate about the things that I wanted to learn and I knew I wanted to learn them, so I actually did the work and learnt them myself, right? You should be your own best worst critic and your own best friend, basically pushing you into the right places. And if your inner monologue is telling you otherwise, shut that motherfucker up, because there's already too much negativity in the world, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah. But work is one of those things. How are you feeling now that you've finished uni and you sort of have to figure out what you want to do now?
I'm trying to find a job that I can apply my degree to. I mean, the job I'm in now, anyone can get.
Yeah.
So I'm annoyed because I'm trying to push for something that I've worked towards for 8 years.
Yeah. What degree did you end up getting again?
I have undergrad in applied science, human biology, and then I have a postgraduate diploma in forensic science.
And do you know what kind of sort of careers that will lead to? Like, what kind of career are you aiming for now?
I mean, so at where I'm working now, there's the scientific officer roles, which are like, you know, biochemistry, microbiology, things like that. Like, you can be a scientist in those fields where you...
With your degree?
Yeah.
Do you need a degree for that stuff?
Oh, yeah. You need an undergrad science degree for those because it's like required for the role.
Yeah, you just need to have previous knowledge of
but
shit.
But there's a lot of roles at Capital that are really high paying, good roles that don't require a degree.
What is high paying in your industry? I'm curious.
Well, I'm, you know, like on the higher end, like it's probably like 80+K. Yeah, okay. It's probably like a high, you know, a higher end of the pay scale. Yeah, like compared to the average.
Because my viewpoint on like high end has been skewed so much by sales.
But
because
you know what I mean, like based on the average, it's like, you know, there's those higher paying jobs. Is that some of them at Capital don't even need a degree. But if you wanted to go into the science path, there's a lot of options there.
Well, I remember when I was younger. And I was like, oh yeah, I want a six figure salary and stuff, which honestly I still would love now. But after, I think I was, the highest I've been was 75 plus super, right? And that was plenty, you know what I mean? Like anything more than that is just gravy. And I realized that I'm like 80K, I think 80K plus super is the salary to aim for as a minimum. Anything plus that is just gravy. You don't need, you can live on 80K very comfortably, very fine, as long as you know you don't have any children or anything like that. But like 80K is fine. So looking back on it, I never thought I was going to get like a job. Like I was super nervous because everyone made you so nervous because they're like, oh, you need a good job. You need a high paying job. It's so hard to get a job because you have to go to the uni. You have to do this. You have to do that. But at the same time, if you have skill sets and you know what you're worth and you go into interviews knowing what you're worth and you're not going to take anything less than what you're worth, you'll get it. You'll end up getting it. Like, I think, especially a couple of my friends, when I got them, I got them a job, I told them, I was like, oh, this job is actually a little bit more harder than the job because I knew this person from Hayes, right? And I got her another job at this other recruitment job. And I was like, this job is, it's a little bit harder than what was like at Hayes. So I think you should ask for a little bit more money. And she's like, no, I don't think I'm worth that. I'm like, doesn't matter what you're worth, just do it. And then if you do it and ask for it, there's two things that will happen. You'll either not get it and nothing will change, or you'll get it and your life will be happy. You know what I mean? And then when she got out of the interview, I asked her, I'm like, did you ask for more money? She's like, no, I couldn't do it. I'm like, see, this is why people think there's a pay gap, because some people can go in and interview and negotiate and get what they want or be real hard at negotiating. And some people just do not have the negotiation skills to do it, which I don't blame people for. It's a skill that you have to learn, and you have to have like balls of steel to just go in there and say, I want 90K. And this is why I want 90K. And when they come back, say, oh, look, I think we're only going to give you 70. You're like, no, I want at least 80. And like, you know what I mean? Like it takes balls to do that, especially when you want the job. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, hustle. But
you have to hustle. You have to ask what you want. And if you don't ask for what you want, you're never going to get it. And I think that's advice people should take into all of life. Like go out and get what you want. Like if you don't take no for an answer, if you don't take negativity for an answer or other people's negativity and put it into your own plan, you will be able to get a lot more things that you want and you desire because you just don't give up on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's gospel advice that anyone should. I'm going to put that on a fucking t-shirt.
So what's the plan then with you career-wise?
Me?
I mean, do you want to, obviously you're in IT now. Do you want to, get into a really specific role within IT? And what would that be? Do you know what that is yet?
I've been trying to get into IT for a year, right? And it was all of our friends are in IT. So I was asking them a lot of advice on what I should do. And it was really hard to sort of develop a career path while I wasn't in the industry because I didn't understand what it was like. I didn't get it. I was sort of coming into the IT industry with the mentality of the recruitment and sales industry, which is where I was coming from. And they're completely different. But I do have a somewhat of a career path of what I want to do. But at the same time, as I learn and do things, that could change. But basically, the main things I look for in a job is I don't want it to be location specific. So I want to be able to learn the skills that I want to do and then be able to go anywhere and be able to do that job. You know what I mean? I don't want to be able to have to stay in a single place to do a job. Two, ideally, if I can do things like autonomously from home or anything like that, that kind of job I would love. So like maybe something like a systems engineer or a systems administrator where you learn the ins and out of a specific system and then you know everything about that. So you know how to fix it and stuff like if everything goes wrong. I think that's something I'm probably going to aim for at this point in time. But at the same time, as I said, like I could go into project management. I could go into like team leadership. Like there's so many different avenues with IT that eventually you need to specify and you need to go more specific and specialize, as you said, into a specific thing because that's where the money is. Like if you can go into super specific stuff that people don't really... There's not that many competition, or there is competition because obviously there's money there if there's competition. That kind of stuff is it challenges you. I think that's my plan, I think. But as I said, I'm like, as long as I can get up in the morning and I enjoy going to work and I've got enough money to live, right now I'm on the lowest pay I've been in for a very, very, very long time.
And you still make more than me.
Yeah. It's still shit then.
Yeah.
Well, not much more, honestly. Like, because I took a 25 grand pay cut coming to this job, knowing full well what I'm going to get out of it.
Yeah.
So like, because a lot of, even when I was quitting my last job, everyone was like, why are you doing that? You're going to make so much coin, more coin doing what you're doing now. And I'm like, it's not about that, man.
You're miserable doing it. Yeah.
It's not about that. I don't care about the money. Like, obviously in my head, I care about the money. I care what the money can do. But it's not worth being miserable for most of my life.
You got to spend most of your time at work. Yeah. And if you're miserable, you're making good money, but you're miserable, then you're just going to suck your soul away.
Yeah, and money is better when you enjoy the stuff you're doing. You know what I mean? And
absolutely. Like,
so at the moment, I'm sort of just playing it by ear, going with the flow, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing how things go. But I think, people need to sort of breathe, like not take themselves too seriously and just figure out what you want to do, what you think is best for you, you know?
Yeah.
What do you have any closing remarks for some advice for the peeps?
Okay. So obviously we've said it throughout this episode, but if you're going to uni, enjoy and be passionate about what you're learning and actually, you know, you have to know that you want to do it.
Mm.
With jobs, don't settle. Always go for something more if you're not happy. If you're not happy with where you're at, even if it does make good money, like only stay at it if you really get something out of it. You know, and it makes you feel good. It makes you excited because that's what it's all about. And you're going to be there the majority of your week. You spend most of your time at work.
And 80% of the
time. So if you hate it with a passion, unless you're making bank with it, don't stay there. I mean, even if you're making bank and you hate it, maybe even that's not worth it. But if you are making enough money that you were like, I don't care that I hate it, I'm making so much money, then okay, fair enough. But I mean, for me, I don't think it'd be worth it.
Yeah, well, I think... I had a point, but I completely forgot it now. Basically, my viewpoint on working, right? So when you go on for a new job, really take into account what other skills or what further development you're going to make in this role. So don't make it all about money. Like say, oh, I'm going to get this level of experience. I'm going to get this training. So then in the future, like don't want things straight away. Like you need to be able to understand that if I take this sort of a sidestep, not really a backstep, but sidestep into something else, I might not be good for the short term, but in the long term, it will really pay off. Like, and even if you're changing your career or anything like that, like, don't think of it like, oh, I'm just sidestepping my career. I'm gonna have to learn all new skills, because I guarantee most jobs out there will have like a lot of transferable skills. So you can still use the skills that you've learned, but then add on top of those skills extra ones, be able to do other stuff. So then by the time you're like six, seven jobs in, you know what I mean, you're like, you're pretty skilled up, and you can do quite a lot of things if you can figure out a way to apply your skill set that you've already learned into new activities and into new ways.
Yeah,
and I think that's the best thing that everyone should think, like the best mindset when coming into employment.
Yeah,
honestly. But
I think we should wrap it up there, Timmy.
Yeah, I think that is a good place to leave it. That's a good hour. So
thanks for tuning in again, guys. We you know we love you, and
can't wait to get some feedback from you guys.
All zero of you, hopefully more than zero.
Well, we haven't even launched it yet, so as soon as we launch it,
but all you people in the future that hopefully listen, we love you. Yeah, we love you.
Yeah,
thank you for sticking to it, and we hope that our advice is helping you in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, I'm keen for when we actually launch this, and I don't know, we get some sort of feedback on what the public thinks.
And don't worry, guys, you know, when we finally do live, that's when we'll start, you know, bringing you guys in a bit more and including viewer comments and stuff into the podcast. Yeah. That's the goal, at least.
That's the goal. So send stuff in, please. Yeah. Don't make us cry on the inside, you know?
Anyway, all right, guys.
Too easy, guys. Stay average, and we'll see you next week.
Stay average.
Bye. All right, that's the show for this week, guys. I don't know about you, Zar, but I feel much smarter with that advice.
Big brain energy over here, mate.
We release a new episode every Thursday, so please subscribe if you enjoy the show. But to keep up to date with us throughout the week, follow us at Instagram at Average Advice Official or Facebook, facebook.com/AverageAdvice.
Yeah, and if you have any of your own stories that you want to share regarding the topic we've just spoken about, or if you have a suggestion for a new episode, please send us an email at podcast@averageadvice.com.au. But that's us for this week, guys. We're Average Advice. Remember,
stay average.
See you.